Good morning. Today's Daf and Yavam is Sadi Zion 97. We're on Sadi Vav. We fell a little bit behind yesterday. Difficult Gemara yesterday, so we fell a little bit behind, but we are going to try to catch up a little bit today and a little bit more tomorrow. Today we're going to primarily focus on one topic as we are now here in the 10th parak and finishing up the 10th parak. Our goal today is going to be finishing up the 10th parak and we'll basically cover a full Daf of Gemara. And principally one topic, and that is B'yas Teisha, the B'yah that's done by a nine-year-old. It's a slightly awkward and uncomfortable topic, but let's try to have some better understanding over here of what is happening. When it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum, so the mitzvah of Yibum is really a predicate of B'yah, meaning the mitzvah itself, the actual mitzvah itself. Again, this is now, as we are approaching almost 100 dapim of this mesechta, so we pretty much knew this already, but in today's daf, we're really going to highlight this point and with a lot of specifics. Meaning to say this follows: meaning when the brother dies and they're survived by his widow and survived by at least one brother. So the mitzvah of Yibum is to do what? Is to actually perpetuate the name. But the actual mitzvah itself is bia, meaning it's to have the act of relations. So is das required? Is kavana required? So like we discussed in the sixth parak, under normal circumstances, when you do a mitzvah, so you need kavana, you need a certain intention. In fact, when a person is doing a mitzvah, he needs to be a bar das. He needs to be somebody who can have the proper intentions in terms of doing the mitzvah. Generally speaking, when we talk about a katan, we say a katan is pater min mitzvos and does not have the wherewithal, the requisite das in order to be able to do a mitzvah. That's what we normally would say. But because the mitzvah of Yibum is really just a predicate of having bia, remember what we learned back in the sixth parak? In the sixth parak, we established that even if the bia was done without kavana, so the bia is going to be the mitzvah is going to be accomplished. Okay, so, and we gave a number of different versions of that point, but we learned that back in the sixth parak. So here we are now in the 10th parak. And so we're going to be introduced to an idea. Truth of the matter is that we touched on this idea early in the Masechta, but here we're going to be discussing it in detail. This is like the main sugya, so to say, of this particular detail. And that is that when it comes to a nine-year-old, meaning he's a surviving brother, he's a nine-year-old surviving brother. If he's, and when I say nine-year-old, I really mean nine and above. If it's a nine-year-old and he has bia with his yavama, so despite the fact that he is not a bardas, and the mitzvah of Yibum has not been fulfilled, but it will have Yibum implications. Okay? And what kind of Yibum implications? So the basic idea, which we're going to be repeating numerous times over the course of this morning, is that when a nine-year-old does the act of Bia with his Yavama, so then it's going to be equivalent to Mimer. Okay? So Mimer, again, this is just all brief reminders and background information, so we appreciate the Gemara today. So Mimer is the rabbinic institution of basically the first stage of marriage that was superimposed on the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is once again the act of Bia. That's it. In other words, as far as the Torah is concerned, so once there's a Yibum opportunity, the mitzvah is performed by simply intimacy between the brother and the sister-in-law. Okay, that's it. That's the mitzvah. But the Chachamim said that's a little intense. Let's put in a first stage of marriage, much like your standard marriage has two stages to it, Kiddush and Nisuin. So what the Chachamim did is they basically modeled Yibum after that, and they put a first stage of marriage in, which is called Mimer. And so Mimer is a quasi-Kiddushin that's done, it's Kiddushin equivalent, that's done in the Yibum context. And then once you do Mimer, so that's it, you and her now are designated to be the principals involved in the mitzvah of Yibum. So basically, the way it would work, textbook would be first you do Mimer, and then you do Yibum with your Yavama. That's how it would work. And now, what we're saying in today's daf, and again, this idea is going to be repeated numerous times, is that when a ben test does bia, now the ben test should not be doing bia, meaning as it will become clear. In other words, this is not something which is preferred or condoned or advocated. But if the ben test did bia, because the act of bia is significant, so the chachamim gave it status. What status did they give it? That of mimer, equivalent to mimer. Okay, that's what we're going to be learning numerous times over the course of today's daf. Let's see the Gemara inside. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. So where are we right now? Sorry. Let's all get our bearings. We're on the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Amad Aleph. We're on the second half of the Mishnah. Yesterday, recall the last thing that we did is that we did the case of the five sisters. A man was married to five sisters. I know that sounds strange, but in other words, the one went away, reported to have died. He married her sister. And another one, she went away, reported to have died, married her sister, and that happened five times over. Okay, well, I'll come back to that case in just a moment because there is one little bit of Gemara that we have to cover on that case. So momentarily, I'm going to come back to that case. But in the meantime, however, so Ben Teisha Shanim. So when it comes to a 9-year-old, so who has relations with his Yavama, and there are other brothers, so who posel al yedei achin? So what he's going to do is he's going to disqualify the brothers, and the brothers are going to disqualify him as well. What does that mean? So it means to say Rashi. Rashi writes who posel tchila kishabal tchila. I'm sorry. Let me first finish reading the Mishnah, and then we'll go to Rashi. Elohu posel tchil v'achim posel tchil v'sof. So it just happens to be that he posels initially, they posel both initially and eventually. Not clear as of yet what that means. Mishnah clarifies. Ketzan. Ben teisha shanim yom echad shabal yivim to posel yidei achim. Ba'o alechim v'asu ba'maymer nasnu gedo chaltsu posel na yado. Okay. So here's the story. The Ben Tess has got a status in that if he has relations with his Yavama, so now it is Mimer equivalent. Mimer equivalent to the point where, let's go back in the Masechta. Let's go back to the fifth parak of the Masechta. What do we learn? So we learn together that there are basically four action points. Okay. This is another introductory point, which I should have put in the first part of the Mishnah, but okay. Anyway, there are four action points that can be done in the world of, in the world of Yibum. Four action points are either chalitza or yibum, those are the two action points in the Torah, or get mimer. Okay, now, as we already pointed out, get really doesn't have any business in the world of in the world of yibum, meaning it's not there's no place for a get. But once again, what the chachamim did is that they gave a credit, they gave it some sort of status. So, if let's say you do action point either chalitza, good, that's exactly what you should be doing. Again, chalitza over yibum. We discussed that earlier in the Masechta. If you do yibum, also that is an action point that is min haTorah. Now, in terms of the other two action points, mimer or get. Well, mimer again in a textbook scenario, mimer is good, meaning that's what the chachamim wanted. And then get, although it has no place in the world of yibum, nevertheless, it's given also a status. So, the basic idea which we went over, which we presented earlier in the Masechta, is as follows. That if, let's say, one of the brothers does, let's say, for example, mimer. Okay, let's use mimer as an example. So what does that do? So it basically now designates the Yavama to him, to the exclusion of all the other brothers. Okay, so that means to say that if somebody else did mimer after he did mimer, so normally what we would say is, the second mimer has no status whatsoever. So, right, and the way to say it, and it should sound familiar, because we did this earlier, is ein mimer acha mimer. Now, let's say after mimer, so one of the other brothers issues or a get. Okay, so we learned back in the fifth parak that get that's issued afterwards is going to be significant. Now, again, what does get have anything to do with yibum? Nothing. Doesn't matter. The point is that there is a status to a get that's being issued. So now mimer was done by one brother, get was done by another brother. So now what that's going to do is that's going to basically connect her. Attach her to two brothers. At that point in time, there's only one solution in terms of how to resolve the issue, and that is somebody has to give her a chalitza. Okay. Anyway, so this is what we learned earlier in the Masechta. What we're learning now in our Mishnah is as follows. The Ben Tess, who has relations with his Yavama, okay, as strange and as awkward as it is, the point is that is given a mimer status. However, the Mishnah qualifies. And the Mishnah says, yes, it's true. It's given a mimer status. But that's only if done initially, not if done, not done subsequently. Meaning, the Mishnah, and this is what the Mishnah just spelled out. That let's say that the first action point that's done with our Yavama is that the 9-year-old had Bia with her. So that's now going to have the status of mimer. And now you just basically follow suit in terms of whatever we learned back in the fifth parak, which is that if another brother comes along and either does, whatever, doesn't matter what the action points are. does any of the other action points. So now you have to take into account that Mimer was done by one brother and by the 9-year-old. Again, Mimer equivalent. And then one of the other brothers did one of the other action points. However, what the Mishnah is saying is that even though there is a Mimer status to a 9-year-old, to the BS Bentes, but that's only on the front end. But if, let's say, he was following one of the brothers did an action point, and then he had BS Bentes, at that point in time, it is not given Mimer status. So basically, okay, and this part admittedly is tricky, is that basically even though the Bentes who has Bia with his Yavama is given Mimer status, it's not full Mimer status. Only Mimer status if he's on the front end, but not if he's following one of the other brothers who already did an action point. If all that was clear. I hope it was, but that's the basic idea behind the Mishnah.
What is the status after the second?
Nothing. It's just simply disregarded. Meaning he doesn't have Das, and one of the other brothers already did an action point. Okay. So it's just viewed as nothing. Okay, now we'll start. Right, we did the Mishnah. Okay, Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara is just following up on yesterday's Mishnah, which we did already yesterday. Again, a man was married to 5 sisters, and they all came back. If you followed yesterday's Mishnah, you understood that. If not, just go back and review. I'm not going to go over the case again. Anyway, the point is that when all the sisters come back, so he can remain married to sisters 1, 3, and 5. Okay? Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to spend a lot of time right now going through that Mishnah. Anyway, Atukul Alav Lachemisus Rishonin Inu Amar Rav Sheshes Lachemisus Rishonos Vadai. The only thing that the Gemara clarified, which truth of the matter is, when I went through the Mishnah yesterday, I made it clear in the Mishnah. Meaning, I already knew the Gemara, so I just made it clear in the Mishnah. Meaning, in the first case of the Mishnah, he can remain married to 1, 3, and 5. In the second case of the Mishnah, he can remain married to sisters 2 and 4. What's the difference? So the Gemara over here just quickly articulates the differences is that in the second case, the first sister actually died, meaning it wasn't rumors that she died, she actually died. So once she actually died, so now the second sister is his lawfully wedded wife. Then number 3 is a sister to number 2, not married. Number 4 is totally unrelated to number 2, that's why he can keep 2 and 4. And then once 4 becomes a sister, 5 now is no longer his wife. Okay. Anyway, that's all just an explanation of the first case of the Mishnah. We move on. We're back to the case of the Bentesha. Bentesha Shanim, Bentesha Shanim Yamechad, Tchila Pasol, Basof LaPasol. So, what do we learn in our Mishnah? That he will be a posel. In other words, he will be a factor if he has relations, but only if he's the first one who does an action point to her. Vatini Razid Rabbi Yoshios and Maim Rabbi Avimtov Akarkachba, Chivshu Benteshanim, Vyomechad Aleha Pasla. So, the Gemara says as follows. We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just taught us that the Bentes, who has relations with her, will disqualify her, but only if he does so initially. But if he's following up somebody else, it has no bearing. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. The Bryce that we just learned together said no, that even if the Bentes has relations with her after one of the other brothers does something, so that also will be a posel. That will also disqualify her. So what we have over here is a stereo between the Mishnah and the Braitza. Amre. So they said, meaning in the base measures, they're obviously trying to make sense of the Mishnah versus the Braitza. Amre. Be a pasal afila besof. Maimer, tchila pasal besof la pasal. So when it comes to Bia, so that will disqualify afila besof. But when it comes to Maimer, so only when done betchila, only when done initially, but not besof. Will be afila besof pasal. So the Gemara says, now come on. In other words, that can't possibly be shot in the Mishnah. V'akitani, eloshu posel tchila v'hein tchila v'sof. Ketzad, menteisha shanim v'yamecha shabal yivimta v'chulei. So, in other words, you just read the Mishnah. And when you read the Mishnah, what you come to the conclusion is that when the Bia is done, after one of the other brothers does something, so then that Bia is disregarded. So it's really hard to read that into the Mishnah, that the Bia is going to be significant both when done initially and when done subsequently. And meanwhile, you read the Mishnah, that's not the sense you get. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is they're going to have to read it into the Mishnah. The Mishnah is missing, and we're going to read it into the Mishnah. So here we go. This is a classic maneuver of the Gemara, in that we know what the conclusion is. We're just going to read it into the Mishnah. So, Ben Teisha Shanim Yom Echad, who posted Tchila Vein, posted Tchila Vesof. So, when it comes to a 9-year-old. So he will disqualify initially. They, the older brothers, will disqualify both initially and subsequently. But that's only when talking about where Maimer is being issued. But if we're talking about Bia, that's done by the 9-year-old, so that will have ramifications, both if done initially and if done subsequently. So the Benteisha of Yom Echad, who is going to have relations with the Yavama, will disqualify the brothers. Okay. Umisle Maimer Klal, Ayide Achin. So the Gemara says, now, we are now offering, as a Pshat in the Mishnah, that when it comes to Bia, the Bia's Ben test is going to be significant, both on the front end and also after any of the other brothers do in action. And but Maimer, that's only on the front side, but not only on the back side. And to which the Gemara's reaction is, what Maimer by 9-year-old, meaning the Bia of a 9-year-old is significant because, as we pointed out, the Bia of a 9-year-old in general is significant. I'm not sure if I made this point clear in the introduction to the Mishnah. It's okay. I'm going to make it clear right now. And that is the Bia of a 9-year-old, meaning it's an interesting phenomena in that, as far as our Mesorah is concerned, as far as the tradition is concerned, he is mature enough where the Bia is regarded as Bia, meaning it's an act of relations for the man. By the way, for the woman, the age is 3. All this sounds really strange, but we're just talking about the act of Bia. So now, if a 9-year-old has love relations, let's say, for example, with a married woman. Okay, just, again, I should have said this back in the introduction. 9-year-old has relations with a married woman. So that is now an act of adultery. Now, from the 9-year-old perspective, obviously he's not subject to any punishments whatsoever. He's underage. In other words, punishments, you only talk about punishments only after he's an adult, 13 years of age. But what does it mean when we say now that the act is an act of Bia? It means that vis-a-vis the woman now, she committed adultery, meaning that when she had relations with this 9-year-old, so for her, that's considered an act of adultery because the act itself is defined as an act of Bia. Okay, so when the way we're interpreting it now is that when our 9-year-old does Bia, both before or after any of the other brothers do an action point, so that's going to be regarded as significant. And so, but if he only does Maimer, that's only significant on the front end, not on the back end. Now, to which the Gemara's response is Maimer done by a 9-year-old, meaning Maimer is not a physical act, meaning Maimer is a designation. That's all about Das. So the Gemara says, V'atani, ben teisha shan, v'yom echad, hu posel b'davar, echad v'achim posel al yado bar b'dvarim. So meanwhile, the Bryce over here is pretty clear that as far as a 9-year-old is concerned, there's only one thing that he can do that's going to have significance, that's Bia. When it comes to the older brothers, there are 4 things they can do which are significant. Hu posel al yado achim b'bia, v'achim posel al yado b'bia b'maimer, b'get b'chalitza. So 4 action points for the adult brothers, 1 action point for the minor brother, minor meaning anywhere between 9 and 13. So, where do we stand right now? It certainly sounds like the only thing that he can do which would be significant is Bia. Meanwhile, the way we're trying to reinterpret our Mishnah is that, when it comes to Bia, it's significant for the 9-year-old, Bein Betchila and Bein Besof. When it comes to Maimer, it's only significant Betchila but not Besof. That's really hard. We just learned the Brisa together. The only thing that he can do that's significant is Bia. Okay, so the Gemara once again reinterprets Bia de pasla bein betchil bein besof psikale maimer de betchil pasla besof la pasla lo psikale. Okay, a difficult shot, but the Gemara offers it, and that is that the only reason why the Brisa was focusing on Bia as opposed to Maimer is because Bia for the katan is always significant. Doesn't matter when he is doing Bia relative to the other brothers and their action points. So it's always going to be significant. That's why the Brisa mentioned Bia. But the truth of the matter is that Maimer is significant even for the Katan on a limited basis, only when he does a Betchila. It Marnami, the Gemara says, okay, as much as we are really forcing a Pshat into the Brisa, the Gemara says it's corroborated. Others also agree with this Pshat. Okay, he has a get, he has a mimer. So Tanya Namihach, we have a brisa, Yeshlo Gev, Yeshlo Mimer, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, a get issued by the cotton is significant, a mimer issued by the cotton is significant. Now, again, out of context, all this sounds strange, right? A nine-year-old offering a get, issuing a get, what does all that mean? So what it means is that, again, in the world of Yibum, so the Chachamim legislated that mimer significant and that get significant. And it, as part of their legislation, it, any brother who offers it, it's going to have significance. Not that, again, a point we all know together, just trying to make this as clear as possible. Not that when a get is issued, she's divorced, but when the get is issued, now she is impaired. She's disqualified. Now, at that point in time, none of the brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibum. And even if that get was issued by a katan, that's also going to be significant. That's also going to create an impairment. Nobody's allowed to, nobody would be able to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And so, if the mimer or if the get was done by the nine-year-old, as long as it was done initially, it's going to have significance. And then the Gemara says, Rameir Yishlo get. Rameir is of the position that even the get that's issued by the nine-year-old is significant, Vatanya. Also B.S. Bentesha can mimer begadol. So the B.S. Bentesha is going to be tantamount to mimer. Rabbi Meir Omer, also Chalitza's Bentesha can get begadol. And Rabbi Meir says that if Chalitza was done by a Bentesha, so that's also going to be considered like a get issued by a gadol. Meaning, Chalitza done by the nine-year-old is going to impair her. It's going to now disqualify her so that none of the other brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibum. V'imisa lisne kigito. Now, if Rameir said that a get issued by a minor is significant, so then the way the Braiser should say it is that according to Rameir, if Chalitza was issued by the minor, it should be like he issued a get, meaning if in fact his get that he issues is in fact going to be significant. So I'm Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua Islay Vizutar. So the Gemara says, well, yes and no, meaning that a get issued by a katan is significant according to Rameir, but significant with a, not capital S, sorry, not the best way to describe it, but a lowercase s, meaning it's significant, but it's correct. Its powers of significance are somewhat diminished.
There's
so,
no das.
Le Rabbi Gamliel, 100% there's no das, meaning, right? Okay, I'll come back to, Danny, I'll come back to your point. Not that I'm going to really help clarify it, but I'll come back to the point. So when Rami Gamliel says, for example, meaning, once again, we go back to the fifth parak of Ramasechta. Ein get achar get. That's the sheet of Rami Gamliel. One of the brothers issues a get, another brother issues a get. The second brother who issued a get, is that second get that's going to be issued is not going to be significant. Okay, and vis-a-vis which halachas are we talking about? Go back to the fifth parak. Anyway, right now we could just deal with it in the conceptual. Rabbi Gamliel says that once a get is issued to her, another brother issuing a get is insignificant. Hani mili begadol achar gadol, v'katan achar katan, v'gadol achar katan mehani. Ah, but let's say the first one who issued a get was the katan. Okay, and what did we just learn together? It's significant. It impairs her. She will be disqualified. Now, if that get, if let's say another brother issues a get, and let's say the other brother issues a get is a gadol. So now here's what we're learning together. Being that the get that was issued by the nine-year-old is a posel, is an impairment of the Yavama, that part's true. But because it is significant with a lowercase s, so therefore if an older brother comes along and also issues her a get, that second get issued by him, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, who is of the position of Ein Get Achar Get, even he would acknowledge that the get that was offered by the adult has more significance, and therefore it's going to be regarded. We could do it the other way around as well, meaning the sheet of the Chachamim of Yesh Get Achar Get, that there is significance to one get after offered after another get. Again, this is the beginning of the fifth parak of the Masechta. So now we leave Rami Gamliel, we enter into the world of the Chachamim. The world of the Chachamim says that there is Get Achar Get. But the Gemara says, but now that we learned that the get offered by a nine-year-old is less significance, has less status, so here, according to the Chachamim, we could do the following. And that is that if an adult issued a get, and then one of the minor brothers afterwards issued a get, so under those circumstances there, that second get is going to be insignificant. Because even according to the Chachamim, we say, yesh get achaget, That's only when the second get is going to be of comparable status. But if the second get is going to be less than comparable status, so then it will not affect, it will not influence. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of a really, really difficult piece of Gemara, just in terms of how to conceptualize it. Meaning that what we learned together is that of the surviving brothers, if one of the surviving brothers is a minor, and normally, right, Danny, this is what we're trying to wrap our head around. And normally we say regarding a minor, no das, right? It shouldn't have any bearing whatsoever in terms of either something he does or something he says. Meaning under normal circumstances, we would have said his mimer, it's a declaration. It's a designation. It's insignificant. Okay, Chalitza, excuse me. Chalitza's got a couple of action points, but again, he's a minor. In other words, what does a man do by chalitza? Not a whole lot. In other words, the shoe is removed off of his foot and he spat upon or in his direction, right? In a couple of prokim for now, we're doing chalitza in detail. Anyway, point is that a minor doing chalitza should have no bearing whatsoever. And the truth of the matter is that a minor doing bia should, under normal circumstances, have no ramifications. But here's what we're learning now in the first part of today's daf. I know it's really yesterday's daf, and that is that in the world of Yibam, because the mitzvah of Yibam itself is really more almost exclusively about the act of bia. So even though the 9-year-old who does not have das, if he does bia with her, so that will have a status. What the Chachamim said is, we're going to treat that as if he did mimer to her. Okay. And then what we all learned together now in the last 20 minutes is that not only is it true regarding him having bia with her, but it would also be true if he did mimer to her. It would also be true if he issued her a get. Meaning that will be significant. Now, when we say it's significant, what did we just learn together? So what we just learned together, it's significant in terms of being a posel. It will impair her. Meaning once he issues get, once he does chalitza, once he does a mimer, that will now inhibit the ability of any of the other brothers to do the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, that's, it's really a lot to wrap our heads around, but that's what we learned, that's the first thing we learned.
And the status of the child from the 9-year-old,
you'll forgive me, that's already next. Yeah, that's next level.
If a married woman has bia with a 9-year-old, she's considered an adulteress.
Yeah.
So the bia has effect in that case.
Yeah.
Why does it not have effect in this case?
So it does. Meaning, what we just learned together is it does have effect.
It doesn't complete the yibum.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. So fine. So to that, the answer is really straightforward. The mitzvah of yibum is the mitzvah on the man. He's not, in other words, he does not have the requisite das. He can't do the mitzvah. He can do the action of the mitzvah, but he can't do the actual mitzvah because he doesn't have the das.
If it happens and the bia occurs, it's as if he did mimer and he's holding his place until he does become a man.
Right, correct. Absolutely correct. Very good. Okay. Mishnah. Sari vava midbeis. Mishnah ben teisha neviyam echad shabal al yivim tov achar kach ba aleha achiv. So let's say you have a Benteisha having had bia with her, and then another 9-year-old also is going to have had bia with her. So again, the dysfunction over here is the part which I'm going to gloss over. Okay, yeah. So, but over here we're just focusing on the halachic ramifications. Okay, an obvious point, but still. And that is that according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so the second bia that's done is also going to be regarded, right? Take a look at the top Rashi over here. Posel yado, da'avi leka maimer, acher maimer. Okay, so basically, again, halachically, you put on the halachic glasses, and what are you seeing over here? You're seeing maimer, followed then by another brother doing maimer. Dishneim tofsim ba v'kevin da'bai again misheni, kam besa aleha, v'kevin shalabana shuv lo yibana. And what do we know? We know that now that the second mimer is significant. So now what you basically have is a yavama with a dual mimer on her. Obviously, that's, in other words, from a Torah standpoint, none of this exists. Meaning, again, if you put not only your halachic glasses on, you put your Torah glasses on, meaning and don't get involved in any of the derabanans, so nothing's happened yet. Min haTorah. But midrabanan, since the BS test is considered like mimer, so now it's mimer followed then by mimer by two separate brothers, and we know that once two brothers do mimer, so that now it results in a disqualification of her. The only solution now is that chalitza is going to have to be done. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo posto. Rabbi Shimon says it does not disqualify. Okay, Gemara is going to explain why that is. We'll get to the Gemara in just a moment. So now, in a similar circumstance where I have the ben test, having first bia with one of the wives, and then has bia with another of the wives. So post al yedei atzmo. So that will be a disqualifier. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo posto. Rabbi Shimon says that will not disqualify. So, and as far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned. So, let's take a look at Rashi. So, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned. So, when the Bentes has relations with first one Yavama, followed by then by her co-wife, so he will disqualify. So, Rashi says, Pasal Rishon Alatzma, V'koshikin L'shnia. So the disqualification is going to be both for the first and for the second wife. So because here's what's happening. What's happening is that the bia that he does with the first one is not a complete act of yibum. Remember, once you complete the act of yibum with one of the co-wives, that now creates a dissolving of any zika with any of the other co-wives. However, with our Bentes, because his capacity to do Yibum is extraordinarily limited, maximum what he's going to get is just Mimer with his act of Bia, so now there still is Zika with the other women. That's why when he goes and he has Bia with any of the other co-wives, it will be regarded significant. Rashi says exactly this point. Below Yibanim. Okay. That is the Shita of the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Shimon Amar lo posel. Now Rabbi Shimon says does not disqualify. Why? Look at Rashi. Dil Rabbi Shimon bias mentesha lo kanya mashairei. So it's not the pshat according to Rabbi Shimon that when a bentes does bia, there is going to be partial kinyan, partial non-kinyan. Meaning there will be exposure, if you will. That's not the pshat. So ela safek kanya safek lo kanya. So the only thing that happens, according to Rabbi Shimon, is one or the other. It just happens to be that, according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't know which one it is. Either it's a full kinyan or it's no kinyan. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, and by the way, this again should sound familiar. We did this earlier in the Masechta. We're getting to review this again. According to the Tanakhama, when Mimer is done, or in our case over here, Bias Bentes is being done. So that creates a partial kinyan, but still exposure for more kinyanim to be done if somebody else wants to do something. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's all or nothing. He just has a suffix. So e kanya kanya gamer velo kamanya biasach vechein biasa betzara ve lav kanya havale kamisha lo ba lo zu velo zu umutala kaima rishona avashnia lo mikaim doma biasa kanya brishona ve kamishnia ale beser shne batim. Okay. And so therefore, all you have to do is just simply look at both sides of the equation. Meaning, if it was a kinyan gamor, so then the bia that he did with the first wife, the first surviving widow, is fully significant, and then bia with subsequent saras, perfectly inappropriate, but halachically totally insignificant. Mashain kain, if the bia that he had with the first one is totally insignificant, the bia that he had with the second one also is going to be totally insignificant. Again, it's all or nothing. He has a suffix. Tanya, the Gemara's discussion over here really, really short. Amalem Rabbi Shimon Lachachamim Imbia Rishona Bia Bia Shnia Enobia. The Imbia Rishona Enobia Bia Shnia Nami Enobia. Okay. In other words, what we just learned together in the Gemara is the rebuttal of Rabbi Shimon to the Chachamim. Again, it's all or nothing, but there's no in between position like the Chachamim advocate. Masisin lo ke benazai de tanya. And then the Gemara's point is that our Mishnah is not following like the Shita benazai. Because benazai omer yeshmaim rachamaim rebishne yivam viyavam achas. Vein maim rachamaim rebishne yivam viyavam echad. Our Mishnah is entertaining the idea that there could be a double mimer in both the cases where there are surviving brothers and one widow, and in the case where there's one surviving brother and multiple widows. Meaning, our Mishnah illustrates both examples. Ben Azai makes a distinction in terms of when is there a dual mimer. There's only going to be a dual mimer only b'shnei yivam v'yivam achas, only when there are surviving brothers, but only one widow. He does not say in the alternate case, and over here I'm gonna just push forward, meaning why should that be according to Ben Azai? We discussed it back in the fifth parak. Rashi over here goes over it again. I'm gonna elect to move on in the Gemara just because I see where we are and I see the time. So anyway, okay, let's quickly recap. Let's do a mid-daf recap. As today's discussion was honestly a complicated discussion. It's difficult. So far, but it's all been one topic, so that part's good. So what we're saying now is that when a nine-year-old is having bia with his yavama, again, not promoted, not condoned, not recommended, all of the above. However, what we're learning together is that because the mitzvah of yibum is a bia-centric mitzvah, I know I made up that word, I know, but because it's a bia-centric mitzvah, so what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim gave his act of bia a status. It does not have das, it is not going to be able to perform a mitzvah, but they gave it a status. What status did they give it? So they gave it a mimer type status. And then what the Mishnayos have done, in other words, both the Mishnayos that we did on the Amud Aleph and on the Amud Beis, is basically with that now, with that piece of legislation. So what happens when the Bentes has bia with her? Before one of the brothers did an action point, after the brothers did an action point, what if he did bia to one of the co-wives and another one of the co-wives? Meaning, it's just a question now of plugging in what happens under those circumstances now that we know that the bia bentes is going to be considered like a mimer. Okay, adkan. We're not at the end of the daf. In fact, again, the goal today is to finish the perek. I'll go longer if necessary, but that's our goal for today. Ben Teisha Shanim V'yom Echad Sheba Al Yevimto Umeis. So the Ben Teisha Shanim, the 9-year-old who has bia with his yavama, and then subsequently he dies. So Choletzes V'lo Misya Bemis. So as far as the surviving brothers are concerned, they're going to have to do Chalitza. They can't do Yibum. Okay, again, in other words, the bia ben tes is considered like mimer. Mimer now is a partial acquisition, but what it doesn't do is it doesn't resolve the zika in total. Again, there's an idea that we keep repeating again and again, but the Mishnah is just simply saying it in many different ways. And, you know, obviously by the end of today, hopefully we're going to absorb the basic point over here. That means to say that if, let's say, after the ben tes has bia with her and then he subsequently dies, so was the mitzvah of yibum performed? No. Was part of it performed? Yes. And so therefore, what the surviving brothers now have to do is that they're going to have to finish it off. They can't do the mitzvah of Yibum because once again, with his act of Bia, he impaired the mitzvah. So they can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So the only thing left for them to do is Chalitza. Nasa Isha Umeis Harezu Petura. Let's say you have a Ben Tes who marries a woman and he dies. So this woman now is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning we knew this already, but the Mishnah was just making this point as clearly as possible. His marriage is not considered a marriage, meaning he attempts to marry a woman, he has relations with a woman, that's not marriage. Marriage, by definition, needs das. And over here, he does not have das. So if he, quote-unquote, marries a woman, meaning he has relations with a woman, and then he subsequently dies, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So, ben teisha shanim v'yom echad shebal yevimto, so let's say the 9-year-old has bia with his yavama, and then from the time that he matures and becomes an adult, he marries another woman, and then he dies. So, im lo yadas rishona mishehigdil, and he never was intimate with his yavama after he became an adult. Okay, so he basically now has two wives. One is Yavama that he did Yibum with, and the other one was a wife that he took when he was an adult. However, the first wife, the Yavama, he only had relations with her when he was a 9-year-old, which means what? That there is, that he has not consummated the marriage. The marriage is in this rabbinic limbo state where he has done basically effectively mimer with her, but that's it. He hasn't completed the mitzvah. So of the two wives, which one is his bona fide wife? Oh, and by the way, I know I said this, but let me just emphasize. And then he never subsequently had relations with the Yavama after he became an adult, which means that if he had relations with her after he became adult, so that would have been the full consummation of the mitzvah of Yibum. But in this particular case, he didn't. So it's just, the mission over here is just showing us a contrast. Meaning, this man has a Yavama that he slept with, but he slept with her only when he was over the age of 9, but not after the age of 13. He has another wife that he took on after he became an adult. And now of the two, so will the real wife please stand up? That's the point of the Mishnah. So, HaRishon HaChaletzes V'lo Misya Bemes. So now as far as what happens when he dies, so now what becomes of his wives? So the first wife, which is only his Mimer acquired wife, so for her, so the only thing that can be done is chalitza. Yibum can't be done because she was never a full-fledged wife. V'hashnia o chalitza tzom esi abemis. Now, as far as the second wife is concerned, so you either do chalitza or you do yibum. Okay, that is according to the Tanakhama. Again, strange and bizarre. There's no question about it. Makes perfect sense. Meaning, right, in the context of our discussion, makes perfect sense. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, what is Rabbi Shimon going to say? Now, let's prime ourselves to understand the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. This will be the second time this morning that we're going to be able to say this. According to Rabbi Shimon, what's Mimer? What's B.S. Bentes? It's one of two options. It's binary. It's either all or it's nothing. Oh. So that's the way Rabbi Shimon looks at it. So now, when asked the question, the first wife that he took, meaning his sister-in-law, that he had Bia with her when he was 9 years of age, so what is she to him, according to Rabbi Shimon? The answer is all or nothing. So Rabbi Shimon Amar Miyabim Lezu Shiyirtze V'cholitz L'shnia. So you'll do Yibam to whichever one you want, and for the second one you will do Chalitza. Okay, are you going to do Yibam to whichever one you want? So according to Rabbi Shimon, it is not a dual Zika. It's only one Zika. And so therefore you have the ability to do Yibam to whichever one you want. Now, okay, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon, she is either, meaning the first wife, she is either coming to this last surviving brother, either from the first brother or from the second brother. Again, it's all or nothing. So that means to say that either way, it would be fine. And then once Yibam is done with one of the wives, so then Chalitza is going to be done with the other wife. Okay. Let me just spend a moment clarifying this point. Meaning, Reuven Shimon Levi. Okay. Ready? It's all this is really strange, but Reuven Shimon Levi. Okay. Reuven dies leaving his widow. Shimon at this point in time is 9 years of age. Shimon has Bia with her. Okay. And then later in his life, Shimon takes on a second wife. Okay. And then Shimon dies. And Shimon never consummated his Yibum marriage with Reuven's widow. Okay. Everyone see this? So now Shimon has died, leaving two widows. It just happens to be that the first widow may be his widow, may not be his widow. Okay. And now we have our third surviving brother, and that's Levi. Rabbi Shimon says the following. Rabbi Shimon says that vis-a-vis now Levi, so from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, so this first widow, meaning Reuven's widow, who Shimon did Bia with while he was a minor, which as we've established over the course of today's daf, is going to be a mimer-like status, right? Here's my alliteration for the day, right? Bia, when he's a minor, will be treated like mimer. Okay, thank you very much. Fantastic. Fantastic. So according now to Rabbi Shimon, it's all or nothing, meaning that from Levi's perspective, she's either going to be the widow of Reuven, and nothing was done to her. Alternatively, she will be the full-fledged widow of Shimon. Either way, Levi has eligibility to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. It just happens to be that we don't know which one she is, so when he does elect to do Yibum to her, he's going to have to do Chalitza to the other. Why? Because, again, there are two possibilities. Either she was a widow of Reuven, or she was a widow from Shimon. If, in fact, she was a widow from Shimon, so that means to say that the other woman is totally relieved from the mitzvah. Alternatively, she was a widow from Reuven. If, in fact, she was a widow from Reuven, so then the other widow needs to be attended to. So because you have those two distinct possibilities, so the best solution, and really the only solution, is to do chalitza to the other. Okay. Hopefully all that was clear, right? I see it clearly, but I admit all this is really difficult.
According to Mishnah, the nisuin of a minor, it's not nisuin that's enough to completely break the zika?
It's according to Rabbi Shimon?
No, according to the Tanakhama.
According to the Tanakhama, it's partial.
But enough to break the zika completely.
And it doesn't, no, it doesn't break the zika completely. Right, Nasa Isha. Wait, which one? Which one?
The second case.
Nasa Isha is Arizepetura. It's just talking about a simple case where he elects to marry a woman at 9 years of age, and then he dies.
So it's a good marriage.
So it was a, no. In other words, there's no marriage.
So what does Petura mean?
Petura just simply means that there's nothing to do. There's no Yibam. There's no Chalitza. There's simply nothing to do.
The brothers are not supposed to do Yibum with the 9-year-old.
It's not saying she's
widow.
No, right, Rashi writes over here. How is the Petura of Afagav the Bias of Bias Kedushin? Ain't a Kedushin, ain't a Kenyan, Katan Klum, Achi Avi Besaros, Aval Biavama, Hov is the Kuka La, Le Shaviva Rabban and Kemimer. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, now I realize I said it wrong. Meaning that when he did Bia to her, right, as a 9-year-old, so the Chachamim now treat that if he did Bia with her, the Chachamim treat that like Mimer, and that means to say that if subsequently he dies,
right, that's
true,
which is the second case.
Right, Nasa Isha, there's no Yibum. Umeis harizep harizupatura.
There's no yibum. There's the marriage is not recognized because he didn't have that.
Shenivim tevelo achen. Right. There. Right. The. Okay. Let me think more about it. You're right. I didn't say that one correctly.
It's because he's a minor that there's no zika bond.
Right.
Right, that's the basic point of the Mishnah. I have to crystallize in my own head. Okay. Anyway, and one more line of the Mishnah. Now, as far as a minor is concerned, so what is a minor? A minor is anywhere in between 9 to 20. I know that sounds funny, but 9 to 20 who did not develop any, let's call it secondary sexual characteristics. Meaning, right, like we discussed earlier, like a Sris. In other words, what creates an adult, and what creates an adult is years, and also saros, meaning physical maturation, actual physical maturation. And so if, let's say, you have somebody who does not have that physical maturation, meaning he's got the actual genitalia, he does not have any developing saros, so then he's what's considered a sris. We discussed this earlier. And so he has minor status until he gets to 20. If you recall, we asked a really fascinating question early in the Masechta. Once he's 20 and he's proven to be a Sris, does that go retroactively back to when he was 13 years of age? We asked that question earlier. Anyway, we have a little bit to do in order to finish up the Perek. I know it looks like a lot, but it's really not. A little bit of Agadata today. Amar Rava. Yep. So, according to the Chachamim, when I have Zika Shnei Yevamim, meaning that when there is a Zika that is created from two brothers, so, and Chalitza has to be done, Yevuma cannot be done, that's not just limited to a case where there is a co-wife, Over here, there is no co-wife, and still, chalitza needs to be done. Meaning that if I have a woman with this double zika meaning that she was widowed from one brother, another brother did something, meaning not yibum, but something, and then she's widowed once again. So now she's, as she approaches the third brother, she has that double zika, right, which we discussed earlier in the Masechta. So it is that in of itself will disqualify her for the mitzvah of yibum. Let's say I have either a shota or katan, people who do not have das, and they marry. So their wives are going to be excused from chalitza and yibum, meaning their marriage is not regarded as a marriage, and therefore when they die, there's no mitzvah of chalitza, there's no mitzvah of yibum. Ben teisha, mishehigda v'chule v'yasu b'yas ben teisha, kemayim rebegado v'titchet sara miyibom. So the Gemara says, why don't we consider the following? That we'll have a bia ben tes, and it will, and again, it's equivalent to mimer. And so what it should do now is it should push off the co-wives from the mitzvah of yibum. So amar avlo asu b'yas ben tes kemayimer begado, u'shmul amar asu v'asu. So here, Rav and Shmuel, Rav is of the position that it is not perfectly equivalent to a mimer. Shmuel says it is perfectly equivalent. V'chein amar Rav Yochanan, asu v'asu. And according to Rav Yochanan as well, it is perfectly equivalent. So the Gemara says v'ya'asu. Okay, so now, if in fact it's perfectly equivalent, so now why don't we treat it like a mimer? So tanaihi hach tana darba achin gazar, mishum tsara, v'ashmin v'gadol v'hu adim b'katan, so the Gemara says, as far as previously when we made this point regarding mimer of ein mimer acher mimer, so there what we were discussing adults. That's why we were principally talking about adults. Mishum tzara, and over here we are talking about minors. And our primary discussion over here in the 10th paragraph is talking about minors. Okay. And finally, Azal Rabbi Lazar Amr Lashmaita Bay Midrasha, Velo Amr Mishmaita Rav Yochanan. Okay, so our discussion over here, a Ben Tes having relations with his Yavama, is it perfectly analogous to Mimer? Is it not perfectly analogous? Rav Yochanan says it is Mimer. It is perfectly analogous to Mimer. So they went to the base measures. They reported this statement. What they forgot to do is to give attribution that this was said over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Shama Rav Yochanan ikpid. Rav Yochanan was really upset. So olagabe Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi Amr le lokach haya ma'isa bebeisik neshel shel Tveria benagash yesh barosha glustor shenechlugu bo Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi ad shekaru sefer Torah bechamasan. So what the students of Rav Yochanan are begging Rav Yochanan is, don't get too upset. Meaning don't let the anger get to you. You remember they had a machlokus in some base medrash elsewhere. And as a result of the machlokus is, was over a pestle, however you pronounce it. And whether or not it has a shem kli or does not have a shem kli on it. Can it be moved on Shabbos? Can it not be moved on Shabbos? Without getting into the details of what they were debating, it was a heated debate. And the debate got so heated that they tore Sefer Torah. Now, even as the story is being told over, the Gemara immediately edits the story. So, Karusak Dacha, they didn't tear Sefer Torah. Meaning, that's too dramatic. That's not what happened. So, Ela Ema Shenikra Sefer Torah Bechamasan. It means that what happened was that the Sefer Torah itself was not given enough attention, and it was torn. Meaning, because they were so angry and they were so preoccupied in having this really heated debate, so things weren't attended to, and a Sefer Torah was torn. I don't know, it was Rachmanis. We had a situation here in the shul a couple of years ago. Sefer Torah just rolled right off the bima. Okay, it was unattended. Okay, so something along those lines. Anyway, the point is that the students were telling Rav Yochanan, please don't get too angry. V'haya Hashem Rav Yosi ben Kismi Amar to me ani em lo yeh beis haknesses zu avodas kochavim. And it happens to have been that at the shul where the Sefer Torah was torn, so Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma's comment was, the shul's probably going to end up becoming a house of idol worship, v'chein hava. And that's in fact what happened. Anyway, hader ikpid tfei. So the Amr Chavrusa Nami, so the, and Rabbi Yochanan just got angrier. Meaning, it did not assuage him. So, Olegabe Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Amalei Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Avdo Kein Tziva Moshe Es Yehoshua. And Yaakov Bar Idi goes to Rav Yochanan and really makes an attempt to assuage him, and a good attempt to assuage him. And he says, look, as far as Moshe is concerned, Yehoshua stood by his side all the time. V'chein asa Yehoshua lo hisir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. V'chi al kol davar shamar Yehoshua hayomer lem kach amar li Moshe. Now, whenever Yeshua had to say something regarding the Torah, now did he have to cite a source? And the answer, of course, is no. He had no. There's no need for him to cite a source. Everything that Yeshua said, everybody knew, came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was obviously the source of Torah, and Yeshua, who was his principal student, so obviously he didn't have to say, "Oh, by the way, I learned this from Moshe." So now, Ela Yeshua Yoshev Adorish Tam VaKol Yodnu Shetorah Social Moshe. He Av Rebbe Eliezer Tamidecha. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi says to Rav Yochanan, the same could be said regarding your student, Rebbe Lazar. Meaning, it's all coming from him. Everybody knows that. Yoshev v'dorish tam v'akol yodin kishilcha hi. So, and everybody knows that it belongs to you. Amar lem, mimnei ma'i atem yodim lefayis ke ben idi chaveirenu. At that point in time, Rav Yochanan was perfectly assuaged, and he was just simply now upset at all the other students who didn't know how to calm him down like Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. And he said, and he took exception to all the other students. Come on. Everybody, look how Rav Yaakov Bar Idi was able to calm me down. Okay. And Rav Yochanan Maitama Kapikuli Hai, and over here. In other words, it's not the particular issue that was being discussed over here. It was the fact that his position was being articulated, but he was not given proper credit and attribution. Why did it make him so upset? So Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav. My dichsiv, agura ba'olacha olamim." So because we have the following, we're going to start with the pasuk in Tehillim, and that is that I'm going to be living in your tent kol hayamim, olamim forever. V'chiyav shel oladam lagur b'shnei olamim. Now it's just simply not how the world works. Meaning, we don't live here forever. In fact, we're here very temporarily. So the Ella Amar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Yehi Ratzon Shiyomer Davar Shmua mi pi ba'olam hazeh. So the way that you can live in perpetuity in this world is that if you said something, if you said a Dvar Torah, and somebody quotes you and somebody cites you by name. You say something in the name of a Talmud Chacham in this world. So what's going to happen is that even though he already left this world, so his lips are going to be quivering in the cave. It's an expression. It just basically means that you're going to perpetuate his name and his teachings. I'm Rav Yitzchak ben Ziri v'Temeshemen Gezira Mikra v'chichech chayanatov holech ledodi lemesharim dovei sefasai yeshenim kekomer shol anavim. So the pasuk in Shir Shirim and the Gemara Darshins, you are like komer shol anavim. Okay, a big mound of grapes. Okay, I'm not holding by big mounds of grapes, but anyway, if you're in the wine production. So it starts off with a big mound of grapes. Ma komishol anavim. So what happens is that you put your finger on this pile of grapes, and what happens is it starts bubbling over. And when you repeat a Dvar Torah of a Talmud Chacham, so his lips are going to be shaking bekever. Again, an expression just simply means that you're perpetuating him. And what Rav Yochanan wants to make sure is that he lives on in perpetuity in terms of his Torah. And if somebody now, he's hearing his Torah being stated and him not given proper attribution. So basically he wants to prep everybody that after I'm gone, I still want the Torah to be said in my name. One more point and we finish the perek. And that is the following. Echa ben teshanim v'yom echad v'riminu ben esrim shanim v'lo evi shtei saros yaviu raishu ben esrim v'hu esris lo cholot v'lo miyabim. Bas esrim shana v'lo eviu shtei saros yaviu raishi bas esrim v'yalan islo choletzes v'lo misyabemes. So, we are looking now at somebody who has either a boy or a girl, boy over the age of 13, girl over the age of 12, and they have not yet obtained the physical maturation. So, at 20 years of age, so they provide their birth certificate. I'm saying that not literally, but in other words, some verification of their age. And at 20 years of age, they are now qualified as an adult. So now obviously they are barred and banned and precluded from the mitzvah of Yibum, because again, the whole mitzvah of Yibum is so that you are able to create the next generation. obviously, because they are not developing physical maturation signs, they are considered a sris. He's considered a sris, she's considered an islandess, and so therefore they can't participate in the mitzvah of chalitza and yibum. So, the ha'it marala amar shuma bar yitzhak amarav, who should know the law, simone sris. Okay, I'm sorry. The Gemara is addressing, meaning, what's the problem over here? The problem over here is the at 20, they're going to be pronounced a sris. He's going to be pronounced a sris, she's going to be pronounced an islandess. Meanwhile, in our Mishnah, the sense that you get is that that's not going to be the case. Meaning, even at 20, they're still going to be viewed as a katan. So the Gemara says it's very simple. V'hushu no dolo simani sris. So we're going to go back to a Gemara that we learned earlier in the Masechta. And that is that there are markers, there are indicators, symptoms of that would indicate that the person is in fact a sris. We talked about a high-pitched voice. We talked about other ways to indicate that the person are the sris. There were a number of markers that were used. So if there are simani sris, meaning at 13 years of age, aside from his inability to grow hair, aside from that, there also are other simani sris. If I recall correctly, there was a debate whether you need all the simanim or whether you need just one. But regardless, in other words, if now there are symptoms that indicate that he's a sris, so anywhere between 13 and 20, at 20, now they have the status of being an adult. They're an adult, which also going to be labeled as a sris. As far as all the other halachas of the Torah are concerned, they're an adult. As far as the mitzvah of yibam and chalitza, they're going to be excluded simply because they can't progenate. They can't produce the next generation. Fine. When our Mishnah says that at 20, they are still going to be in a cotton stage, what our Mishnah means is that there's nothing symptomatic. Meaning it's odd that they're not developing physical maturation, but there's nothing that indicates that they're a sris. So then it leads to a really strange question. Before we get to the question. Amarava dekanami diktanim vihu hasris. Shmamina. So, in fact, when the Braisa says vihu hasris, oh, that validates that he's a sris, meaning that there were already markers, there were already indicators that he was a sris, anywhere between 13 and 20. Now, vichilo no dolo simani sris ad kama. So now the Gemara asks a simple question and a really difficult question. So, there is no physical maturation. There's no growing of hairs. So, and there's also no symptoms that the man or the woman are a sris or an islandess, respectively. So now, when do they become an adult? It's a strange question, but adulthood is either going to be a function of shtei sa'aros, shanim and shtei sa'aros, or alternatively, if the person can be labeled a sris or if she can be labeled an islandess. So then at 20, they become an adult. But let's say you're in limbo. In other words, no hairs were grown. No simani sris are proving the person to be a sris. So then what then is going to be the age of godless? It's a really strange question. So Tani Debei Rebbe Chia Ad Rosh Nosav. Well, once you get to the majority of his years, so at that point in time, he is going to be an adult. The majority of the years, by the way, is a funny way to measure. Okay, in other words, we're going to be assuming an average age. So let's assume an average age of 70, right? That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. And so probably what the Gemara means over here is 36 years of age. And we finish off the parak with a word of advice from Rava. And Rava would say that if, let's say, somebody's coming in without any kind of physical maturation. So sometimes he would attribute it to weight. If grossly underweight, so he would tell him, have a second meal, eat a little bit. And if he was overweight, so he would tell him, time to start dieting. In other words, with the thermostat of the weight. So Rava found, the Gemara is reporting it, it must be that he found a lot of good results in terms of once you get the person to a quote-unquote a more normal weight, so you're going to find that the physical characteristics of development, of maturation, are in fact going to be promoted with proper weight. Either, he was too thin or he was too heavy, either way. and he found success with that. Okay, Hadron L'Chayisha Rabbah, that is the end of the 10th parak of the Masechta. It still leaves us behind, but that's what I want. That was my goal for today. Let's quickly recap. Okay, today, admittedly, it was a difficult off today. Okay, you saw me struggle with it. It was definitely a difficult off today. Okay, we started on the Mishnah study Vav Amud Aleph, and really our principal topic today was one topic, and that was Bias Ben Tes. Okay, a definitely indelicate discussion of the Gemara of what happens when the 9-year-old surviving brother has Bia with his Yavama. So what does it do? So halachically, min haTorah, it does nothing, but the Chachamim gave it a status. They gave it the status of Mimer. Okay, it's fair to ask. I don't have a great answer to it. By the way, why did they do that? Meaning, I propose that because Yavam is such a Bia-centric mitzvah, so and the act of a 9-year-old is, in fact, considered an act of Bia, so therefore they gave it the status of Mimer. But as you saw over the course of today's daf, it creates only problems. It doesn't really create any solutions. So I myself don't have a great suggestion in terms of what motivated the Chachamim to do that, but nevertheless, that's what they did. And so then what we did in today's Mishnayos, the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Amud Aleph, the two Mishnayos on Sadi Vav Amud Beis, deals with, given that this is in fact the case, what then happens when the Ben Tes does Mimer? What if he does it and another brother does another action point? What happens then? Are we viewing his Mimer as a full-fledged Mimer, as a minor Mimer, if you will? Okay, the on the Amud Beis, the Mishnayos also grapple with what happens with if Bia is done by him, or if Bia is done by another brother? How do we regard it then? Shitas Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon's of the position that Mimer is all or nothing. Either it totally addresses the Zika, or it does nothing to the Zika. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Bias Ben Tes also will be all or nothing. And the Gemara gave us a number of complicated scenarios that, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's all or nothing, so therefore, if let's say you have a woman who after she had a Yibam opportunity, had Bias Ben Tes with a surviving brother, and then became a widow again, so now what does the third surviving brother do? According to Rabbi Shimon, you have to just simply look at it as either all the Zika was attended to or none of the Zika was attended to. Okay, that was the second Mishnah on the Amud Beis. Okay, and then the question of the Ben Tes having done Mimer with her, is it considered Mimer in total? Is it considered Mimer partial? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan took the position of Shmuel that it's tantamount to total Mimer being done. And then the interesting Gemara, a little bit of Agada Gemara at the end, where somebody quoted the Shita of Rav Yochanan without quoting his name, and Rav Yochanan went ballistic, and how Rav Yochanan was assuaged, and why Rav Yochanan got so upset. That took us all the way to Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. On Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, so the Sris, meaning when a man becomes a Sris or a woman becomes an Islandist, so how do we know that? So there are markers after 13 years of age. In other words, no hair has been growing in the area, and there are markers that would indicate that the man is a Sris and woman is an Islandist. So if you have the lack of hair and the markers, so then at 20, he'll be an adult Sris, she will be an adult Islandist. In the absence of the markers, so then you're going to have to wait even longer. From the Gemara, it sounds like 36 years of age.